WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Hey, happy hump day, right? April 22nd, 2015. Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all. Today, we'll be chatting with Michigan State senior linebacker Darian Harris. That's right, the spring game is now just, 3 days away now. Can you believe that? Of course, Saturday at 2 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. Free admission, and hey, Mark D'Antonio is shooting for 50,000 fans to make their presence known on Saturday afternoon. We'll chat with Darian about spring practice and so much more. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll also talk about the Detroit Red Wings, who are turning heads. They now have a 2-1 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Also, Nick Saban has some choice words concerning satellite camps. Of course, the University of Michigan is broadening its horizons because there are no stipulations concerning the Big Ten Conference and where they can post up camp. Nick Saban doesn't like it, though. We'll talk about those comments. Also, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, their contract is still in limbo. It's not completely signed yet. And we'll talk about the Detroit Lions schedule. All of that and so much more. But hey, as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this April 22nd. All right, let's start things with MSU spring football action. Now, before the upcoming Michigan State spring game on Saturday, the green and white teams, must be picked. Now, captains of each team will go pick by pick at 4:30 p.m. today to select the best possible team in order to win on Saturday. Now, the game is at 2 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. It's free admission for all to attend and will be televised on the Big Ten Network. All right, the Detroit Red Wings. They've been great, haven't they? They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning last night behind goalie Peter Mrazek's first career playoff shutout, 3-0, taking a 2-1 lead in the best of seven series. Now, Mrazek made 22 saves, and Pavel Datsyuk, Riley Sheehan, and Luke Glendening score for Detroit to lead the way for the Red Wings. The teams play again in the D tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Detroit Tigers, they dropped just their third game this season last night in a 5-2 loss to the New York Yankees. Now, Kyle Lobstein earned the loss but performed well, tossing six innings and giving up just one run. Now, it was reliever Ian Kroll that doomed Detroit, giving up two runs and in just a one-out showing. Ugh. Now, the Tigers took the first and will look to take the third in the series tonight with David Price on the mound. Adam Warren will pitch for the Yanks. All right, Lions offensive lineman Rodney Austin said yesterday he's been wrongfully accused of domestic violence and hopes to rejoin Detroit once he's been cleared, according to a statement issued through his attorney. Now, Yvonne Gill Sattler accused Austin of pushing her and their 9-month-old child to the ground in the early morning hours of April 5th. Now, she also says Austin damaged her cell phone to prevent her from calling police. Now, Austin's legal team is suing her for malicious prosecution, defamation of character, and slander. The Detroit Lions have since declined to comment on Austin. And speaking of the Detroit Lions, the NFL schedules were released, and the Lions have a rough stretch to open the season that can make or break them. Now, the team opens with consecutive road games against the Chargers and Vikings, then return home to play the Denver Broncos on Sunday night, followed by a trip to the most chaotic stadium in the league. That's right, the 12th man in Seattle, and then home against Arizona. The schedule also features the Chiefs in London and the Eagles on Thanksgiving. In total, the Lions play 6 nationally televised games this year, tied with the Eagles and Cowboys for the most. Gotta love that, right? All right, Jameis Winston, who was cited last football season for stealing crab legs from a local Publix and later suspended from the baseball team at Florida State for his actions, explained to Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh on an episode of ESPN's Draft Academy that an employee at the local store supplied him with the crab legs. Now, Winston explained that the employee said he would hook him up anytime he came in the store. And on that particular day, the apparent hookup was for crab legs. But someone in the store said Winston, well, saw Winston walking away out with them and said that he didn't pay, so reported it. So, interesting story there. All right, with just 10 days until the most anticipated fight in recent memory, a contract has not been signed yet by the two participants. Now, promoter Bob Arum told ESPN that he is not signing the contract because based on the draft he received on April 15th, it was not the terms that he agreed to. Now, Arum said, quote, "We agreed that we would all be seniorities, I should say, on the final contract. And then they sent us a draft on the agreement that excluded us," Arum said, who promotes, of course, Manny Pacquiao. "Now, with the exclusion of Arum's signature, a single ticket for the bout has yet to be printed. Please get this done. My goodness." All right. And last but not least, the sheriff in charge of the jail where Aaron Hernandez was held before his murder conviction said the former New England Patriots tight end, quote, "knows how to use his charm and manipulate better than anyone he's ever seen." He goes on to say he would make every effort to get extra sandwiches. He would just try to convince the officers to give him more than what they otherwise could get. He also had a fight with an inmate and was accused of threatening a guard during his time there. Interesting stuff there as well. All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
I just think it sets things in motion for us a little bit. You know, our target areas is our students. You know, I'd like to see our students come out there, but right here, so that'll be exciting for them to maybe see Michigan State football up close. So we've tried to target them a little bit. You're always thinking of everything in your program, and this is one of the things. Spring game, collectively having a group of people, having a large group there for our players to be able to play in front of, gives them more game-like experiences. That's what we're trying to do, give them as much game-like experience as we can give them.
All right, ladies and gents, welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard from, of course, head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, as he addressed the media prior to spring practice yesterday afternoon. I made the trip to the Scandalera Center where the team was practicing, of course, in the indoor practice facility. And you heard a direct comment there from head coach D'Antonio. He really is going to be keeping his eyes in the stands, of course, as well as what's going on in the gridiron, just to make sure that Spartan fans really make their presence known on Saturday afternoon. Of course, Saturday afternoon is when the spring game will be taking place at 2 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. And Mark D'Antonio is calling for 50,000 fans, at least, folks, to be present for that spring game on Saturday. Now, of course, looking at last year's attendance, about 35,000 fans showed up. If they do reach that 50,000 fan mark, I mean, that would be a vast increase from Michigan State spring games in the pre-D'Antonio and early in his tenure, I would say. But again, it would still put MSU behind several Big Ten spring games this year. It's been really an impressive outing when looking at other fans who have showed up throughout the spring game, I guess you could say season. Looking at Ohio State, of course, they had 99,000. That's unbelievable. 99,000 folks. I mean, that's crazy. Nebraska with 76,000. Penn State at 68,000. So even if D'Antonio does get 50,000 folks to come out on Saturday, that would still be behind those respective teams. But it would still be progression nonetheless, seeing as though, as I just stated, 35,000 fans showed up last year. Now, if they were to reach 50,000 again, they would also rank number 7 nationally, which would be pretty impressive. I mean, the Big Ten schools have really been coming out and supporting, teams when it comes to spring games, when looking at Ohio State, Nebraska, and Penn State, at least. So, hey, the calling card is out for all of you out there. Will they get 50,000? That's going to be yet to be seen. Now, it's going to be really cool to see the spring game on Saturday because, first off, it's such a relaxed atmosphere from a fan perspective. For the players, of course, hey, I mean, you still got a lot of players out there fighting for certain positions. They want to have a great outing. But it's really cool, the coverage on watching it as a fan, whether you're at home watching it on the Big Ten Network or there live. I mean, first off, I mean, looking at the broadcast, you got George Blaha. He'll be on the air with Kirk Cousins. And then you got Lisa Byington. She'll be on manning the sidelines, I guess you can say. And it's pretty cool because Lisa, you know, with, you know, doing her sideline reports, she also chimes in throughout much of the game. And, you know, from time to time, she's actually in the huddle, and you can hear banter going on between the players. It's very cool stuff, folks, and you'll get to see it again on Saturday at 2 p.m. So let's get this party started early, actually. You know, speaking on that same token, we actually have a player live in studio with us today. As I stated to start our show, he is a Michigan State senior linebacker who has really put up some impressive numbers when looking at the first two scrimmages for this team throughout the spring tenure for Michigan State football. His name is Darian Harris. He is right here live in studio with me now. Darian, how you doing, my man?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
It's exciting to have you on, man. I just can't believe that already we're talking about football. I mean, my goodness, man. But I tell you what, football runs the world. Spring football again. I mean, you guys have been in and out the gym, left and right, preparing for this moment on Saturday. I want to just talk about the intensity of spring practice in general, Darian, because you got so many guys that are competing for certain positions. You know, guys competing for that starting role or that backup role, who knows. What is the intensity like when talking about spring practice?
The intensity is extremely high, especially in Michigan State, with how Coach D structures his practices around for us. He really wants us to get a game environment day in and day out, and it's really important for, especially for the younger players, to really see, you know, what it takes to play at this level and to play for Michigan State. So we do a lot of live periods. We do a ton of tackling, maybe more so than any other school in the country, I would say, in terms of the amount of live reps we do. I mean, you know, we got the spring game Saturday, and yesterday we were playing quarters lengths worth of periods in practice. Wow. So we were having like 12-minute, 15-minute periods, which was straight live, straight tackling, you know, playing like an actual football game. And, you know, that's really the key of spring. You know, we're able to actually play football without the game plan aspect to it, which really makes us better at the end of the day.
Yeah, certainly. You know, when looking at that aspect of things, I mean, you guys are, again, going all out. I mean, do you guys ever get worn out? What's the spring practice schedule like for you guys? I know, I mean, hey, Coach D and the coaching staff is working you guys to the bone to prep you guys for another year. I mean, looking at the past two seasons, you guys have finished top five nationally. There's a lot of expectations surrounding around this program. Can you feel that expectation in spring practice?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that. You know, to go somewhere we've never been, we have to do something we've never done. I mean, that's a real mantra that we really like to live by. And we know we've done well in the past, you know, couple years, but we still have another step to take. And because of that, we have to work even harder than we did last year. So that means not feeling sorry for ourselves, not taking days off, and actually playing football in the spring. And it can wear on us a lot, especially for the older guys as we get later on in the spring practices. It wears on us a lot. But, you know, we're so competitive, you know, within ourselves that at the end of the day, when we go out there, you know, we may complain a little bit before the practice starts. But once we put on the pads, once we get to running around, we remember we really love this game and have a great time with it.
Now, looking at your outing so far, just looking at the first two scrimmages here, Darian, I mean, you have four tackles and a 2-yard sack in the first scrimmage, five tackles in the second scrimmage. I mean, describe your progression this spring and how you are vying for that, of course, starting linebacker role for this team on the heels of next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've improved a lot from last year. I think the game for me is slowing down a lot. You know, I was told that would happen, and it really has, which is...
And what way? What does that mean? Because I hear that a lot. I mean, when a player progresses, no matter what, I mean, whether it be the pros, college, whatever it may be, in whatever respective sport, as you get older, I mean, you just start to get more comfortable out there. But what do you mean by the game slowing down? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, when you transition from high school to this level, the game is incredibly fast. The players are faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. The speed of the game is faster. There's a lot of more up-tempo, especially with how offenses are progressing now and how we're changing our offense to more up-tempo speed. So, you know, last year was really my first actual season, you know, out there as a starter. And the game was fast, and you know, there were some times where I struggled with that, trying to acclimate myself to that. But Going into the spring this year, having had that experience from last year, what I mean by the game slowing down is instead of me worrying about what I'm supposed to do in a given play, now I can look at the offense and try to dissect what they're going to do. And if I know what the offense is going to do, I can make a play that much faster. So me, you know, I already know what to do. I got the defense down. I know what my responsibility is on a particular play. Now I'm trying to get in the head of the offense. I'm trying to get in Connor's head, or I'm trying to get in Jack Allen's head.
So this is a psychological war as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what football is about. You know, it's not the player that runs the fastest that'll make the play on defense. It's the player that dissects the play the fastest that'll make the player. So to make the play. So that's what I've been working on this spring, and I think it's been really beneficial.
Which player, I got to ask Darian, which player on this roster or throughout your tenure that may no longer be here right now for this program, which player has really pushed you to become the player that you are right now?
I look in my own linebacker room. I look at Max Bullard and Nikos Allen, the two players that are no longer here. They really had a humongous impact on my career. I remember going into the Rose Bowl game. Obviously, Max wasn't able to play, but he was texting me at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, critiquing my practice film, telling me what I did wrong. And he was really hard on me, and that's what I needed. You know, this wasn't a buddy-buddy thing. Obviously, I mean, we're great friends, but and he was a fantastic teammate, but it wasn't about that. It was about business, and I think it's because he knew how good I could be. And same thing with Danikos. I mean, every day Danikos would push me to be better, push me to work harder, because they knew what type of player I could be. So, you know, having, you know, growing up in this program with those two was really beneficial to me. They were in their prime when I came in as a true freshman, and I was able to have a couple years with them, and it was really beneficial to my career.
Are you still close with Max and Danikos to this day?
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I see them, you know, we have great conversations. I love them both like big brothers. You know, Max was able to come down to the Cotton Bowl since it was, you know, real close to me, Houston, and I was able to, you know, see him and talk to him there. So, I mean, once you're a Spartan, you're always a Spartan. And, you know, the brotherhood and camaraderie we have in this program, I mean, it's second to none.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Michigan State senior linebacker Darian Harris. You can actually see Darian, of course, in action this Saturday at 2 p.m. live at the spring game, of course, down at Spartan Stadium. Now, you know, when looking at the first two scrimmages and looking at those numbers that I just stated, Darian, I mean, four tackles, a two-yard sack in the first scrimmage, five tackles in the second scrimmage. The defense is really, when looking just at things on paper, of course, these scrimmages aren't open to us media members, but looking at just the stats on paper, which I can only go by, I mean, how much stock should be placed in the results of spring scrimmages? Is the defense just that good, or is the offense just that bad?
I think there's some stock to put into it, but by no means is our offense bad. I mean, our offense is as good as advertised from last year, and I think they'll be even better this year. Connor Cook is an unbelievable quarterback, and you know, some of the throws that he's been making this spring, you know, only an NFL quarterback can make those throws. And sometimes we go in the film and we may have perfect coverage, and he just puts it right on the money. when you look at our offensive line, I don't think there's a better offensive line in the country. We got two All-Americans up there with both of the Jacks, and they're fantastic players. Our running game is coming along really well. We got some receivers down with some injuries, but, you know, when they get healthy, everything's going to be rolling there. And, you know, defensively, you know, we always play with a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, actually last fall camp, the offense really had the upper hand on us in these scrimmages. And we really took that to heart and came out in these past two scrimmages from this spring with a chip on our shoulder, really wanting to go out there and play well. So, you know, with the modified scoring system we have and all the changes and things that go on with the scrimmages, you know, when you see players making plays, that's real. But in terms of the scoring, in terms of, you know, who's, you know, past who, in terms of offense, defense, I don't think much stock should be placed in that.
Folks, again, we're chatting with Darian Harris, Michigan State senior linebacker. Hey, if you got a question for Darian, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And speaking of the defense, Darian, I want to talk about Monte Nicholson, because when looking at his numbers, I mean, in the first scrimmage, what, he had two interceptions for touchdowns, 10 tackles in the second scrimmage. I mean, is he really becoming a catalyst on the defensive side of the football? I mean, talk about his progression as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, last year was a good way for him to get his feet wet as a true freshman playing. But I think, like I said, you know, it's kind of a culture shock when you come in as a freshman. and have to try to you know, get ready for this level of play. But you know, he's a year experienced. He got a year under his belt now, and he's doing an excellent job for us out there on in our secondary. You know, he's got big shoes to fill, obviously replacing the Big Ten defensive back of the year in Curtis Drummond. But I think he's doing a fantastic job with that. He's an extraordinary athlete, as you know, everybody says, and as you probably know, competing on our track team as well in a triple jump, I believe. So he's an extraordinary athlete back there in the back end. He's been making some fantastic plays this spring, and the sky's the limit for him.
Now, of course, Darren, it has to be a noticeable absence when talking about, of course, Pat Narduzzi, who took the head coaching job at the University of Pittsburgh. I mean, first off, what was it like playing for Coach Doozy? Because, you know, when looking at the defensive prowess that he was able to put together here at Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State, when you talk about, you know, the national analysts who look at this squad, or just from a national perspective in general, I mean, Michigan State is a team that you know is going to bring it on the defensive side of the football. A lot of that had to do with the culture that Pat Narduzzi brought to this program. First off, is it weird at all not to have Coach Dews in practices with you all? I mean, is it hard to get adjusted to that, not seeing him in practice?
I think it was really beneficial for us to have our winter conditioning before spring ball, which are run by the coaches. Each position coach has a specific drill. I think that really got us acclimated to Coach Narduzzi not being there, because he didn't have his drill for winter conditioning. So when we got to spring ball, we were almost kind of used to him not being there. I wouldn't necessarily say it's weird. It's a little different, obviously, not having him there. But, you know, we're extremely proud of what he was able to do and where he is right now. And we wish him all the best. I mean, we knew, you know, this was coming because, I mean, he's been the best defensive coordinator in the nation for, you know, however many years. So, you know, it was definitely an honor and a privilege to play for him. And I definitely wish him all the best at Pittsburgh.
You talked about how it's a little bit different now with him being gone. I mean, in what way? From an intensity perspective or what?
Yeah, I mean, he was a very intense guy. You know, his normal voice was screaming. And, you know, it took some time to get used to that. But that's how he coached. But he was also a player's coach as well. He really cared about us. He really loved us. The way he was able to dissect an offense was amazing, and the way he was able to put together a defensive game plan was extraordinary. So, you know, that's been a little different. You know, thankfully we got, you know, great coaches and Coach Tressel and Coach Barnetta that really stepped in and done a fantastic job this spring, as well as Coach Snyder coming from Texas A&M. I mean, he's done a great job coaching us in the linebacker spot. We've really gravitated towards him, and that was a fantastic hire by Coach D. So it's been a very, very smooth transition, I think.
You got a favorite Pat Narduzzi story?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. you know, I remember one in particular last year playing Indiana, going into halftime. I can't even remember we were up or down. We ultimately, you know, won that game by I think a pretty significant margin. But we did not play well at all in the first half, and we the players go in the locker room first and sit down first, and because Coach Dews has to come down for the press box. So
right.
we know that, you know, 5 minutes is a very long 5 minutes.
It's an anxious five minutes, right? It's kind of nerve-wracking 5 minutes.
When I happen to be sitting in the front row, and the first thing he comes in, he picks up a chair, hurls it across the locker room, almost takes my head off, and then just screams at us for the whole halftime. I don't even think we made one adjustment. It was just getting yelled at.
Wow.
But that's what we needed. And he knew when to come in and yell. Whereas Cotton Bowl didn't scream at all, or Rose Bowl when we're down didn't scream at all. So he knew when to yell, and he knew when to be calm and say, all right, you know, you guys are good, y'all figure it out, let me step back. So you know, that just a testament to the kind of coach he was. He knew what situations, you know, how to act in certain situations. And again, I really wish him all the best at Pitt.
Wow, that is fantastic. That's a hilarious story, Darian. Again, folks, we are talking with Darian Harris, of course, Michigan State senior linebacker. Now, now transitioning now into talking about Harlan Barnett and, of course, Mike Tressel, who are now the co-defensive coordinators for this squad. I mean, what is it like, you know, playing for them?
It's fantastic. Coach Barnett is a Spartan in himself, so he really, really loves this program. And you know, Coach Tressel has been here for the same amount of years, and was with Coach D at Ohio State. And I've obviously been, you know, my linebacker coach since I got here.
Right.
You know, they're fantastic coaches, and we all love playing for them. You know, Coach Tressel is a very fiery guy as well, as is Coach Barnett. So just this whole defensive staff gels together exceptionally well. And, you know, we'll always lay it out on the line for them. There's no bad animosity that, you know, they're the two defensive coordinators. You know, from these two spring games, we know that they can call a great game, put a great game plan together, and that's really reassuring to know.
Now, I want to talk about, of course, the calling card that Coach D has put out to the fans out there. Those out there listening, again, Mark D'Antonio, he wants to see his goal, his set goal is 50,000 fans at Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon. So he is challenging you, folks. He is challenging all of you out there. I want to talk about, you know, because I feel as though, Darian, when looking at last year, and I was at this game, we covered just about every single home game for you guys last year like we do every season. And I remember being on the field covering the Michigan State and Nebraska game that took place, you know, 3 days before my birthday on October 4th is when this game took place. The weather wasn't great. It was a kind of a cold and rainy game. And, you know, to start the game, I mean, this is nationally televised. ESPN is doing the broadcast. I looked around, you know, throughout the first three quarters, packed. Packed house. Everyone's there. Fourth quarter came, and it seemed as though you guys were going to pull away. It was going to be a blowout. Done. In the books. Nebraska, of course, ended up making a little rally. You guys still won the game, however. But I looked up and saw the student section, and the student section was pretty much half gone by that point. And I remember the commentators, I forget who broadcast the game for that day. I mean, they also commented on it. And, you know, Coach D wasn't happy about it. Some of you guys weren't happy about it either. I want to go back to that moment because it seems as though ever since that game, as the season went on, the big talk of the town was the student section, the students coming out and staying throughout an entire game. First off, what were your thoughts when you looked up and saw the student section a little bit sparse throughout in the fourth quarter of that game, Darian?
Yeah, I think originally you're a little disappointed in that. You know, one of the biggest parts of college football is the students and is the crowd. And when you go on the road, you go to Nebraska, you go to Iowa, you go to Penn State and see how their crowds are, you know, you get that competitive edge that goes off the field. You know, you want to also have that atmosphere in your own stadium because you know that your nation, you know, Spartan Nation is capable of putting that out because, you know, we've seen it. We've seen Spartan Stadium packed. And when it's packed, it gets to rocking. And, you know, what the students got to understand is we feed off of their energy, especially on defense. When you make a big play and you look up in the student section, the student section is going crazy, that's when the goosebumps, you know, on your arm stand up and you really feed off that energy. And, you know, we were very understanding that, and it wasn't the perfect day in terms of the weather, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout, but Nebraska was a very good team, and we kind of took our foot off the gas when we shouldn't have, and they made a really late run. More power to them. And, you know, do we think that it's an excuse that because the student section wasn't filled that happened? Absolutely not. But, you know, we know that we have fantastic students here, and we know that they care about their football. And, you know, we do want to see the stadium packed at all times. And I think that's when Coach D then realized that we need to do some more things for the students. So that's why we're doing these clinics now. And that's why, you know, we had a meeting between student representatives and representatives from our team to try to see, you know, what they wanted to try to give them a better atmosphere. Because maybe the atmosphere in Spartan Stadium was not to their standards. Maybe they were hearing that maybe they have friends at other Big Ten schools and they were saying, and they were learning that maybe games at those places were better in terms of what they were exposed to. Versus what our students get at Spartan Stadium. So we're very in tune with that. We care about our students a lot. We want them to have the best experience possible. So we're doing everything we can to make that happen.
And I understand, Darian, of course, with the you just mentioned the student clinic. I mean, the students who showed up for that clinic, they're actually going to be running out the tunnel before kickoff for Saturday's game. Am I right? And you guys are kind of going to be switching roles. You're going to be standing on the side and watching them run out. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's just something we're trying to do, you know, to give the students a great experience at the spring game. Again, like I said, we really care about our students. We really appreciate what they do for us. You know, like we said at the clinic, I believe Coach Manny was the one that, you know, brought all the students together and told them, you know, we're all a family here at Michigan State, and everybody's connected. You know, one of the mantras we live off is as far as great the Spartans' greatest asset is the warrior standing next to them, and that includes our students. When we're out there, we feel them next to us while we're out there on that field, and we really want them to know that and know that we care and know that we're going to, you know, try to do everything to make sure they have a great time.
Very well said, Darian. You think you'd get 50,000 on Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Spartan Nation is strong. I think they've been very pleased with what we've been able to do the past couple of years. So no doubt in my mind we can get 50,000.
Folks, there you have it. The one, the only, Darian Harris, MSU senior linebacker, who I'm sure will be tearing it up next year on the gridiron. Definitely looking forward to seeing what he's able to do on Saturday. Darian, wish you all the luck in the world, my brother. Appreciate your time, all right?
Thank you very much.
Darian Harris, got to love that. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to hit our first break. Jack, I know you're on line one. We're going to get to you, my friend. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Right, Darian. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, if you're just now joining us, you just missed a great chat with Michigan State senior linebacker Darian Harris. Darian, fantastic. He's fantastic on the air, folks. I tell you what. And he's also been a part of our student core here at WKAR's Current Sports, who has been reporting and helping us out production-wise with the show all semester. He actually wants to go into sports broadcasting and is really doing one fabulous job. So we kind of have the luxury of throwing him on the air when we need him to talk MSU football. And he does one outstanding job. Not only on the field, but off of it as well. So, Darian, appreciate your time. We have two stories here, breaking news stories. One concerning the Detroit Tigers. Now, of course, Joe Nathan is still trying to come back and work and slowly work himself back as the Detroit Tigers closer. But I'm seeing here Joe Nathan apparently re-injured his elbow after throwing just 10 pitches in a minor league game this morning. So that's not looking good. Joaquin Soria, but Joaquin has been so good out there on the mound, in relief. So, you know, he'll have to hold it down for a little bit longer as, again, Joe Nathan re-injuring his elbow this morning, throwing 10 pitches in minor league baseball. And also, a report coming here from the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder have fired their head coach, Scott Brooks. That news just broke 2 minutes ago. So there you have that. I don't think Scott Brooks, again, it was on the rumor mill, you know, that Scott, you know, he was possibly on the hot seat and could possibly lose his job, especially if this team did not make the playoffs. Of course, Kevin Durant stood up for him midway through the year and really got a lot of press because of that. He's a player's coach, though, because if you talk to the players on the squad, I mean, the Thunder really liked having Scott Brooks as their head coach. Scott Brooks, though, he will not have a hard time at finding another job in the National Basketball Association. I can pretty much assure you that. All right, folks, let's move on. Let's move on. I want to talk some Red Wings here because the Red Wings right now, they have a 2-1 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. How about that? I mean, my goodness, I actually have to – I'm kind of eating my own words here because during the beginning of this week, I kind of pronounced this team dead. Because, you know, looking at the losses they had over the weekend, really a blowout loss for the Wings over the weekend to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Again, on the road in Tampa Bay. What a response, though. And you gotta tip your cap to, first off, Peter Mrazek. 22 saves for him yesterday. Now he's really put together two solid games throughout this series. 44 saves in game one. Survived a 5-1-3 yesterday, which really seemed to be the key to that game, because things really could have got out of hand and Tampa Bay really could have got right back in that game. But hey, Peter Mrazek, hats off to him. He's unbelievable. And it's so interesting because I actually read an article from the Detroit Free Press right after that game when Peter Mrazek was interviewed. When he was interviewed after a spectacular game, again, 22 saves, Tampa Bay going 0-for-6 on power play opportunities. I mean, he just kind of took off his pads, took off his jersey, and, you know, he's kind of had a demeanor like, yeah, I kind of expected me to have a game like that. You know, it's a really interesting perspective and read on just the demeanor of Peter Mrazek after that game. But, man, oh, man, and I always say, you know, I love how, of course, head coach of the MSU hockey team, Tom Manassas, uses the phrase puck luck. I mean, because every once in a while, I mean, especially in playoff hockey, man, it gets really intense. And sometimes it's just about getting enough shots on goal and just hoping good things happen once the puck approaches the net. And you saw yesterday, how about Pavel Datsyuk? I'm pretty sure he didn't script that one, folks, but he just gets his skate in the middle, in midair of the puck, and it changes direction, finds the back of the net. How about that? Scoring right off of his skate. You need bounces like that, especially in series where you're just kind of just, you know, trying to rebound from a loss. And, hey, the biggest factor, not only with, you know, Peter Mrazek having a great outing on goal, but how about having former Michigan State Spartan Justin Abdelkader back in the lineup? He was fantastic. I mean, you could just see his presence changed the game, if you will. You know, he assisted on the second goal, of course, for Riley Sheehan. He had 6 hits. He's a gritty, gritty player. Gritty player, folks. He had 1 shot on goal. I said this yesterday before that game. Having Justin Abdelkader back allows you to disperse your three guys who are really aggressors when it comes to scoring. Of course, you know, Justin Abdelkader being one of them. You got, of course, Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg. You can now split those guys into 3 lines instead of having 2 compact into 1. And, you know, and you can just see the change of momentum and the change in confidence overall for this team when having Justin Abdelkader out there. And, you know, it's so interesting because the Lightning just have not been good on the road. I mean, they have actually not won a postseason road game dating all the way back to 2011. And then how about Steve Stamkos? I mean, he's really the Lightning stud. I mean, he's the guy that really gets things going for this team. He's the scoring juggernaut for this squad. And he hasn't really made an impact whatsoever throughout this series. So if you are a Wings fan and looking at the Red Wings now with a 2-1 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning, you got to be saying to yourself, hey, anything is possible. You know, this is the postseason. Just getting in the dance can really change a lot of things. And the Red Wings, I mean, they're just showing a lot of resiliency right now. And I think they may have themselves a goaltender right now. I think Peter Mrazek, I mean, again, 22 saves yesterday. He had 44 saves in game 1. You have to give him a lot of credit. Got to give this young kid a lot of credit. So actually 100% save percentage with him because, of course, he didn't allow any goals throughout that game, a 3-0 shutout for him. So, I mean, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think about the Wings? Do they continue to keep this momentum going? Can they beat the Lightning? Will they beat the Lightning? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, game 4 for this series will take place on Thursday night at 7 p.m. But very impressive stuff from Peter Mrazek and the Detroit Red Wings. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show by chatting about Nick Saban and some interesting comments concerning satellite camps in his own backyard. We'll also chat about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, of course, with that big fight, arguably the biggest fight in boxing history, taking place in just 10 days. The contract has still yet to be signed. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that, hey, yes, Current Sports TV airs this week, just like it does every week, right? Thursday night at 10 p.m. I'll be chatting with the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball team. That's right, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. He'll be joining me tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. And I actually was at the Lugnuts and Fort Wayne 10 Caps game yesterday. a fun time for baseball. I tell you that. Tell you what, folks, because the Lugnuts right now are rolling. I mean, they're playing great right now, folks. They picked up a win against the Tin Caps yesterday, last night, even though it was a cold and rainy day. I had to bring out the heavy jacket and even a Scully. It was cold outside yesterday, folks. But I mean, you know, just looking at the improvements to the stadium, I mean, you got the new scoreboard out in left field, which looks absolutely amazing. And then, you know, to the right field, you got this really cool LCD hookup that again shows who's up at next bat. You know, they can put really any graphic on the LCD screen, but that's really cool as well. And then in the outfield, I mean, you start to see the construction of the new apartment complex, which of course is slated to be finished by next year. They're in the early phases of really constructing that complex, but you can just tell. I mean, when it's done, I mean, man, it's going to be incredible to see that thing in the outfield, folks. So, and of course, the Lugnuts, it helps when you have a winning squad, right? So, yeah, I mean, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, he's been a longtime voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Again, you'll get to see my sit down with him on Current Sports TV tomorrow night at 10 p.m. And Jesse also has written a really cool book called the Baseball Encyclopedia. Very cool stuff. He'll also talk about that and so much more. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. Again, if you're just now tuning in, we have two stories that have broken. One local story concerning the Detroit Tigers, of course, pitcher Joe Nathan. He has apparently re-injured his elbow after throwing just 10 pitches in minor league play this morning. Of course, that was supposed to be sort of an audition to see where exactly Joe Nathan was health-wise, and whether or not they could set a solid timetable as to his return as a Detroit Tigers closer. But again, he re-injures that elbow, so yeah, we'll probably see a lot more of Joaquin Soria in the coming games. And also, breaking news report, they just broke about 10 minutes ago now, Scott Brooks, Oklahoma City Thunder, now former head coach Scott Brooks, he has been fired, folks. So I want to get, the thoughts of course, engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Yeah, with Scott Brooks, I have to say, I think it's a good call. And I thought Brooks was a good coach. I really did. But it's kind of that same, you know, you've got a kind of purgatory stage in the NBA and the NFL where you're good, but you're just not going to get to the top. NFL teams have it with their quarterbacks. I think NBA teams have it with their coaches. I think Brooks was one of those coaches. So I think he's good for a young rebuilding team. You saw how he obviously groomed Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and Ibaka into real stars. But I think it's time that the time has come to test the waters. Now, what I'm interested to see is how does Kevin Durant react?
Right, right. And that's the thing about it. I mean, really, when looking at because the Thunder didn't make the playoffs this year. When looking at how the Thunders didn't make the playoffs, I mean, can you really put the weight of that shoulder on Scott Brooks's, responsibility? Because when looking at it, I mean, they were just an injured team. I mean, anytime, because if you look at it, at one point, both Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were hurt, were on the sidelines for this squad. It's tough when you have your two catalysts for the team not even playing. So can you really put that on coaching? As far as, you know, looking at some of the headlines that I read throughout the season, Scott Brooks, he was sort of bumping heads with those in the upper echelons, which you see, far too often in the game. I mean, that's the reason why I think Mark Jackson is without a job right now in the NBA, because he bumped heads with upper execs for the squad. But I really don't think that Scott Brooks, at the end of the day, you can't really put the demise of the Thunder and the reason why they didn't make the playoffs on his shoulders. I think he'll find a job rather quickly, if you ask me, Isaac.
Oh, losing this final stretch of games was not his fault. They had Russell Westbrook and that's it. And, you know, you look at why the Pelicans made it, it's because the team got healthy at the end of the year. And mm-hmm. Drew Holiday returned. Eric Gordon finally was healthy. Ryan Anderson returned. Tyreke Evans was healthy. And you compare that to just Russell Westbrook? No, I mean, you can't put that loss on Scott Brooks' shoulders. But I think the bigger problem has just been the past few years failing to make the finals since they got just demolished by the Heat that one year.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. All right, folks, the phone lines are open again. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. 13 minutes to be exact. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to talk about this story because I find this one, I kind of chuckled when I read this one because, again, because I get it. I get where he's coming from. But at the same time, you can't blame Jim Harbaugh for this one, folks. Now, of course, when the news first broke of Michigan football satellite camps being leaked, I guess you can say, I mean, there was really no backlash except for, I believe Auburn's head coach, Gus Malzone, he chimed in on it. But really, other than Gus, I mean, there were really no other schools chiming in on U of M. Now, with satellite camps, this is what happened. I mean, with satellite camps, you allow your program to branch out other than just their state or their region or area, and you can attend camp. Well, you can hold camps in other areas or attend camps, I should say, in other areas other than just your region. So there are two conferences that don't allow this to take place. That's the SEC and the ACC. Of course, programs like, Nick Saban's Alabama, they are restricted from participating in camps more than 50 miles away from campus. Now, Big Ten coaches, including Nebraska's Mike Riley, who embraced them as Oregon State's coach last summer, and Penn State's James Franklin, can go wherever they want. So if they want to attend a camp and possibly dip into the recruiting bowl of Alabama or anywhere down south or anywhere north, anywhere, really, they can do that because they're not restricted. They don't have the rules that the SEC and the ACC have. So is it fair? No. Let's be honest here. I mean, it's not fair that, SEC teams and coaches can't participate in camps more than 50 miles from their respective campuses. No, that's not fair. But again, if the system allows other conferences to do that, what, do you expect them not to? Hey, I really, Jim Harbaugh is just playing the system here, folks. That is all he's doing. And again, when looking at, Nick Saban's comments, just to read them here, again on Tuesday, he kind of fired back and offered his first extensive comments on satellite camp, saying, quote, "If we are all going to travel all over the country to have satellite camps, you know how ridiculous that is?" Then he goes on to say, quote, "I mean, we're not allowed to go to all-star games, but now we're going to have satellite camps all over the country. So it doesn't really make sense." I get it, Nick. I get it. I mean, you have been a football powerhouse for quite some time now. Just about every year you can slate the Alabama Crimson Tide college football team to be amongst the best in the nation. They do quite fine with recruiting, without a doubt. So whenever that product of excellence and consistency is threatened in any way, shape, or form, you better believe Nick is going to have a quarrel with it or a comment about it. But if you are a program like a Michigan football program that, let's be honest here, excluding the past 5 to 6 years, Michigan football has a rich tradition, actually the winningest college football program in all of the land. But looking at the recent stint of what has occurred under the Brady Hoke era, hey, this program is trying to rebuild, folks. Rebuild is the right word. It's really the only word I can think of to describe what's happening in Ann Arbor. And you bring in now a coach in Jim Harbaugh who has had an impressive track record as a head coach, in the NFL. I mean, heck, I mean, how many coaches can say they coached in a Super Bowl? Even though he lost to his brother, John, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, he coached in a Super Bowl, folks. I love his personality. He is a very fiery guy, a very competitive guy. And he is one of those guys who is going to try to find any edge he can in order to be successful and win. I love guys like that because I'm like that myself. I got to be honest, folks. I mean, the reason why I got into journalism, one of the big reasons, I should say, one of them, was because of how competitive it is. I mean, I love that competitive nature of journalism. It's all about who's getting the story first, who has the best program, ratings, blah, blah, blah. I love that stuff. I mean, when I was a young kid trying to find out what I wanted to do, I knew, one, I love sports, and two, I'm just so competitive. I mean, dating back to my years in high school, playing, high school basketball. I was the most competitive guy on the team. I'm not just trying to beat you. I am trying to stomp on you. I'll use an analogy all the time. I'm not just playing, you know, my grandma in Goldfish. I'm not just trying to beat grandma in Goldfish. I'm trying to just completely demolish grandma at Goldfish. You know, that's just how I am. And every once in a while, you see other personalities like that. I'm pretty sure many of you out there listening may be very competitive individuals. So you are trying to look for that advantage, that upper hand in any way, shape, or form. So if the system allows Jim Harbaugh in the U of M football program to expand its territory and horizons and go participate in camps that aren't 50 miles away from Ann Arbor, hey, do it. What if you land a big recruit out there in Alabama? Yeah, are you dipping into the cesspool of Alabama, Alabama Crimson Tide? Will they be upset about it? Yeah, sure. But hey, he's just playing the game, folks. So, you know, as this develops, you know, I do think, you know, especially with a man of Nick Saban's, you know, I should say aura, if that's the right word, a guy who certainly has a lot of influence in college football, who's very noticeable. Again, everybody, just about every year, I mean, you hear about, you know, college football analysts talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide and Nick Saban and his program. He has really built quite the powerhouse out there. And, you know, anytime you have him complaining about something, you better believe that the NCAA is definitely going to lend itself its ear, you know, and really listen to his quarrels that he may have. Because is it fair? No. It's not fair that the SEC and ACC can't do that. You know, they can't expand their horizons and leave, you know, within 50 miles of their you know, their campus and go out and visit other camps. It's not fair that they don't get to do it and other conferences like the Big Ten get to. Yeah, I get it. But again, you cannot blame Jim Harbaugh. And I kind of admire it, to be honest with you guys. I definitely admire him, you know, expanding his horizons, because at this point, at the University of Michigan, it has this aura that you cannot have seasons where you don't make a bowl game. You cannot have losing seasons at Michigan. That's just not how that football culture is. So, hey, Jim Harbaugh is doing everything in his power to make sure that, which has been evident the past, you know, under the Brady Hoke era for the past 3 to 4 years, he's making sure that does not happen under his tenure and tutelage. I feel him on that one 100%. To close out the show, I want to talk about this because I just thought this is just kind of ridiculous now. Because again, in 10 days, folks, we are going to witness the biggest fight that boxing has ever seen. Who knows whether it'll be the most entertaining fight that boxing has ever seen. I highly doubt that, because honestly, watching a Floyd Mayweather fight is a snooze. You know, it always goes 12 rounds, and at the end of the day, we all know who gets the crown. Floyd Mayweather. I hope that trend finally snaps here. I do think Manny Pacquiao is a fight we've been waiting on for quite some time, and for just reason, because Manny Pacquiao has been one of the great fighters of our generation, without a doubt. But, you know, just what 10, 11 days before this fight between Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao was supposed to happen, an actual contract for the bout to take place at the MGM Grand still has yet to be signed. Can you believe that? Now, top-ranked promoter Bob Arum told ESPN.com on Tuesday that he wasn't signing the contract that he received, which was a draft of on April 15th, because it wasn't what he agreed to when the MGM Grand, Mayweather Promotions, and he signed the term sheet a couple months ago. They had changed the stipulations. And this is a direct quote from Arum. Quote, "We agreed that we would all be signatories on the final contract, and then they sent us a draft of the agreement, and it excluded us." That's what Arum said. So with this not happening, with no signatory on the contract, that means the Top Rank wouldn't have control of the decisions before the fight, including an in-arena production, video content, and music, and so on and so forth. So with this big holdup, I mean, without a signed agreement, a single ticket has not even been printed, folks. And tickets to the closed circuit viewing of the fight at the MGM hotels have not even gone on sale. Now, a source with, just reading this direct quote for here from the article, a source with knowledge of the talk said that MGM proposed on Tuesday to be allowed to start selling the closed circuit tickets and any public tickets to fight immediately with everything else frozen as talks proceed. It's just how ironic? I mean, we've been waiting for this fight now for about 5 years, folks. And with everything seemingly being set in stone, and now just 10 days before the fight, a solidified contract hasn't been signed. Tell you what, they better get that contract signed ASAP, folks. Because if they don't, a lot of people are going to miss out on a lot of moolah. I think the fight is going to happen, but I just found it kind of ironic that a fight that has been ducked and dodged for so long is now seemingly teasing us because of a contract. Shaking my head. And they wonder why boxing is in the state that it is right now. Boxing has become too political, folks. It's become too political. Gone are the days where, okay, this is the split. This is the day that the fight's going to happen. Let's sign it and let's get it on. I mean, there are too many hands on contracts nowadays in that sport. I just don't. Turns you off as a fan, doesn't it? Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to another fantastic edition of Current Sports. Again, I want to give a shout out to Michigan State senior linebacker Darian Harris for joining me on today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic hump day. And hey, be easy, people.